Daf is Erevin Daf Kuf. We left off in the Mishnah, Daf Tzadi Tesamid Beis, at the bottom of the page. Today, the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Tesamid Beis is going to speak about carrying underneath a tree. If you have branches that hover over the ground underneath the tree, are you allowed to carry in that area? How high above the ground can the branches end up in order to be considered a mechitza around that area? And the Gemara is going to machlokas Rabban Rav Sheshes about the specifics of the iser to use roots of a tree, to be mishtamish bi'ilan by sitting on the roots of the tree. Where exactly does that iser apply? The Gemara is going to point to three nafkaminas between the shittos of Rabban Rav Sheshes. Then we're going to have a stira between two brises. If somebody's already in a tree, is he allowed to climb out of a tree on Shabbos, or does he just have to stay there for the rest of Shabbos? We're going to have three ways to understand that machlokas, and we're going to unsuccessfully try to connect that machlokas to a different machlokas about Zrikas Hadam al Gabei HaMizbeach, which is an interesting connection. The Gemara then is going to have a stira between two brises, whether it's even asur to sit on roots of a dried out tree, and it's going to resolve that stira. And then Amud Beis has a lot of agadata, a lot of rules about proper etiquette in Tashma Shamita, and it's going to talk about various curses that Chava received, and we're going to learn about all different types of midos that one could have learned by just looking at the animal world, looking at the Bria around us, rather than learning our midos purely from Torah. Even if the Torah were not given, there were certain midos we would have been able to learn. So that's going to be the Agadita toward the end of the Daf. So let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ilan Shayim Mesech Ala Aretz. If you have a tree that is hovering over the ground, then the branches hover over the ground. If the ends of the branches are within three tefachim of the ground, so then you're allowed to carry underneath the tree because you're completely surrounded by mechitzos. The branches form mechitzos all around you. If the roots are three to protrude three tefachim above ground, then one is not allowed to sit on them. Going back to the first halacha in the Mishnah, that when you're carrying underneath the branches of the tree, in the shade of the tree, under the branches, so that's only if the area that the branches cover is less than Beis Hasayim. But if it's more than Beis Hasayim, then it's considered to be an area that's not Hukaf Ladira. It's an area larger than Beis Hasayim that is not made, that the mechitzos around it are not made for the sake of Dira, for the sake of doing normal living things inside of it, and therefore you're not allowed to carry there. So says Mar Maitaima, why do we assume that it's not Hekaf Ladira? Why you sit there, you enjoy the shade, you have a picnic, that's a normal dira thing. Why is that considered to be not hukaf ladira? So I answer the Gemara, mishum dahavi dira shetashmisha la'avir. The main significance of having that area is not to live there underneath the tree, it's so that if you happen to be out in the field and you want to be guarding the area beyond the tree, it's a good place to sit when you're guarding that area. But the main purpose of those mechitzos, those God-made mechitzos of the branches of the tree, is not for the sake of living underneath the tree, it's for the sake of taking care of the area outside of the tree. And that's why it's not called hukaf ladira. But called dira shetashmisha la'avir, eimetalthim b'yasim b'sasayim. Whenever you have a dira whose primary function is not for what you do in that dira, but rather for taking care of the area beyond that dira, so that's considered to be in a hukaf ladira, and therefore you're not allowed to carry there if the area is larger than a beis hasayim. Shrashav gavon min haaretz v'chulei. The Mishnah had mentioned that if the roots are more than three tefachim off the ground, then you're not allowed to sit on those roots. So says the Gemara, Itmar, shrashe ilan haboin milamala mishlosha letoch shlosha. What if you have a root that's not exactly, it's not purely three tefachim above ground, it rises from above three tefachim above ground to within three tefachim of the ground. So what's the halacha then? So says the Gemara, that's a machlokas. Rabba Amar mutru l'shtamish ben, Rav Sheshes Amar asu l'shtamish ben. Rabba says that you're allowed to sit on them, and Rav Sheshes says you're not. Rabba mutru l'shtamish ben de kol pachs mi gimel da ara arahi. Rabba says you're allowed to use that root, presumably within three tefachim of the ground, because as long as you're within three tefachim of the ground, that's considered still part of the ground, even though a different part of that same root may be more than three tefachim above the ground, but the part that you're using is still considered just a hemsheikh of the ground itself. Rav Sheshes Amar Asur L'Shtamish Ben, Dikivan Demikoch Isur Ka'asi Asurin. Rav Sheshes says, no, you're not allowed to use that area, because Mikoch Isur Ka'asi, they come from a root that's Asur, so the entire root is a Cheftza of Isur, merely you're not allowed to use any part of that root. So the Gemara explains as follows, three ramifications of this machlokas. Number one, didamu kimashunisa, disalkin na'ela asurin, dinachlan tasai shari, litstadin plukta darab of Rav Sheshes. When the roots are shaped like a mountain peak, when one of the branches is partially above and partially below three tvachim, so the part that's above three tvachim is asa, the part that's below three tvachim is mutter, but litstadin off to the side, the sides of the these roots, Rashi says, litstadin ashrashim akatanim hayotzim mitoch gova shel gedolim, the roots that protrude from the height of the larger roots, umatin laaretz litoch gimel, the Rav Sheshes asiri, Rav Sheshes would say it's aser, dimikach isura asu, because they come from an iser, l'rabba sharu, according to Rabba, it's going to be that part, those small roots are going to be mutter, because they themselves are within three tvachim of the ground. So that's one nafkamina in this machlokas. Second nafkamina, v'chein anigra, if you have roots of a tree that are inside of a ditch. So do we measure the three tvachim of a tree planted in a ditch from the ground above the ditch? That would be Rabba's shita, or from the bottom of the ditch, and that would be Rav Sheshes's shita. V'chein b'keren zavis, also if the tree is at a right angle where walls meet, meaning the walls meet at a right angle, do we measure from the top of the walls? The tree is planted right on that corner, so do we measure from the top of the walls? That would be Rabba's shita, or do we measure from the ground at the base of the walls? That would be Rav Sheshes's shita. So the Gemara says, and that also relates to the following case. Abaye had a dekel tree that went out, as Rashi says, bi ipuma betoch abaye sayomid. It was a tree indoors, va'ola derech pi aruba lamala minagag pachos migimel, and it protruded out above. There was a skylight, an open skylight, not with a window. It was an open skylight that the tree stuck outside of the house. So how do you measure that? Is it the first three tefachim above the level of the house, or is it the first three tefachim from the ground level? Also, the Kamei Rav Yosef is Sharulis. I came to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was Matir. He said it's as Rashi points out, De'enu nir menagag gimel afilu be'echon mitzdadav, because it does not protrude three tefachim above the roof level. So he thought that it's all considered like the ground. Amar Rav Acha bar Tachlifa de Sharulach kerabba Sharulach. When he says that it's mutter, that's assuming like Rabba, who says that we don't say mikoach isura asi, because over here betoch habayis it's asur, because inside the bayis it's clearly more than three tefachim off the ground. So if you held like Rav Sheshes, and you held that anything that comes mikoach isur is asur, so even the part that sticks outside the roof would be asur, comes mikoach isur. So he says it must be that we're assuming like Rabba if he was matir. Says more pshita, of course he's assuming like Rabba. Rav Sheshes obviously would say it's asur. So says more no, mal de tema afilu Rav Sheshes base a command malidami. I might have thought that even according to Rav Sheshes, in this case it's going to be mutter, because a bayis is considered to be completely filled in, so the entire bayis is considered to be the ground, and therefore the within three tefachim above the level of the bayis is still considered to be part of the ground. So kamash malan, therefore it comes to tell me not that way, that Rav Sheshes would not make that assumption. He doesn't view the bayis as if it's filled in, at least for this, for the purposes of this halacha of the muktzah status of the tree. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Shrush of Gavon Minaritz Gimel Tvachim Lo Yeshev Aleim. If you have roots that are three Tvachim above ground, one cannot sit on those roots. Eichidami, Idelo Hadri Kipi, Pshita. If they don't dip back down within three tefachim of the ground, then of course you're not allowed to sit on them. That's the obvious halacha. Elav afalgav da adrikipi. So isn't the implication that even if they do dip back down within three tefachim, you're still not allowed to sit on them? So says Gemara Lo, liyolim delo adrikipi v'akamashvulin afalgav detzido echad shavala aretz. No, the case is that it doesn't dip back within three tefachim. The chiddush is that it may be three tefachim above ground level on one side of the root, and the ground being uneven has it less than three tefachim above the ground level on the other side of the root. So you might have thought that we should consider that to be within three tefachim of the ground, but no, since it's above three tefachim off the ground on one side of the root, we view that as being more than three tefachim off the ground. Tanur Rabbanu Nu Braisa, Shrashi Ilan Shegvon Min Aretz Gimel Tefachim O Sheyesh Chalal Tachtein Gimel Tefachim. If you have roots of a tree that are three tefachim above ground, or there's an empty space underneath them, underneath the roots actually leave airspace between the ground and the root of three tefachim. even though on one side of the rune it may be even with the level of the ground, you're not allowed to sit on such roots because you're not allowed to go up on a tree, you're not allowed to hang something on a tree, you're not allowed to lean something on a tree, you're not allowed to lean on a tree, you're not even allowed to climb a tree on Friday and stay there all Shabbos. So you have a tree house and you want to spend Shabbos in your nice tree house, beautiful weather, so you climb there before Shabbos and stay there, you're not allowed to even do that. Echad ilan vechad kol behema. Whether it's an ilan or a behema, you're not allowed to climb on even before Shabbos and stay there. Aval, bar, siach, ma'ara, vegeder, mitvas vol, mitvas viyored. But if you want to climb in and out of a bar, you want to climb in and out of a cave, even if it's 100 amos, and you want to climb the walls of the bar or the cave, that you're allowed to do. Rashi points out the chiddush is that one might have thought the isra of climbing the tree is an isra of tircha yaseira, so therefore one would imagine that if you're in the bottom of a 100 amah deep pit, climbing that would also be a tircha yaseira, would be asr. Kamash that it has nothing to do. It's lav mishum detircha. The concern is that you're going to be tolish a branch, that you're going to detach a branch, and such a concern does not exist in a cave or a bar, and that's why it is mutter. Tani chada, we have one brisa that says im Allah mutter leirid, that if a guy climbs a tree, you're allowed to come down on Shabbos. V'tani chada, asur leirid. But then we have another brisa that says that if you climb up a tree, you're not allowed to come down on Shabbos. So what do we do? It's steer between two brisas. Three possible resolutions to the stira. Number one, lo kasha kan mi ba'od yom kan mi shechashecha. That it could be that if you climb the tree before Shabbos, then you can come down. If you climb the tree after Shabbos started, so you can't climb down. Viba yisema, second possibility, hava ha mi shechashecha, v'lo kasha kan b'shoge kan b'mezid. We're talking about where you climbed after Shabbos started. But if you didn't realize it was usher to climb, or didn't realize it was Shabbos, you were shogeg, which shogeg comes in those two forms, that you didn't realize that which you were doing was Asr, or you didn't realize that it was Shabbos while you were doing that which you knew to be Asr on Shabbos, so then you can climb down. But if you realize you did it b'mezid, you cannot climb down. V'yibay yisema, third possible resolution, hava ha-b'shogeg, v'hacha b'kansu shogeg atu mezid k'mifugi, mar sover kansinan, mar sover lo kansinan. It's definitely talking about you climbed up on Shabbos b'shogeg. The question is, are we going to penalize somebody who climbs up b'shogeg atu mezid, on account of somebody who would climb up and maze it? So one brisa holds that we do issue such a penalty, even if a person did it b'shogeg, just to be sure that we punish those who do it b'mezid. And the other brisa says, no, we're not going to make a special knas on people who do it b'shogeg, to the people that do it b'mezid. Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua Kitanoi. This is, Rav Huna suggests, this machlokas parallels a different machlokas tanaim in an entirely different area of halacha. This machlokas is about, if you're in a tree, can you climb down on Shabbos? It parallels a machlokas in an entirely different area of Shas. What's the case? Let's say you have blood of two karbanos that both require zrikas adam on the mizbeach, but each karban that has the same halacha that needs one matana, one zrika of dam on the mizbeach. But it's two different karbanos, the blood gets mixed together. So the halacha is very clear. So you just do matana achas, because then you're definitely doing the right thing. Both karbanos require only matana achas, so that's a no brainer. Matan Dalid b'matan dalid, inasum b'matan dalid. If you have blood of a carbon that requires matan dalid, four matanos dam on the mizbeach, mixed with blood of another carbon that also requires matan dalid, also it's a no-brainer. You do matan dalid. But now it gets tricky. Matan arba b'matan achas. What if you have blood of one carbon that requires dalid matanos on the mizbeach, and the other requires one matan on the mizbeach, and they're mixed together? So how many zrikos do you do? How many zrikos of blood on the mizbeach do you do with this mixture of blood? So that's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Lazar amar yinasnu b'matan dalid, Rabbi Yeshua amar yinasnu matan achas. Rabbi Lazar says do four, Rabbi Yeshua says do one. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, says, how could you say to do one? Harayu over al Baltigra. If you're doing one, then it's Baltigra. You're supposed to do four. One of these kabbarnas requires four matanos of dam. By doing one, it's Baltigra. So Amar Rabbi Shur says, what are you talking about? Harayu over Baltosif. If you do matan dalid when you're only supposed to do matan achas, that's a violation of Baltosif. So forget about Baltigra. You got Baltosif. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, lo Amar Rabbi Shubatzmo. Rabbi says, no. Baltosif is only when when it's standing on its own. When you have only the matan achas dam and you're zorik the matan achas four times, that's baltosif. But when it's part of a taroves, that's not baltosif. So what does that mean? Why is that not baltosif when it's part of a taroves? Several different shitos in Rishonim. The Ritva writes that since the ikur nisinas arba matanos is for the sake of the dam that needs dalid matanos, so even though the matan achas dam comes along for the ride also, so that's not a violation of that's not going to be a violation of baltosif because that's nizrak memela. It's not that you're being zorik the matan achas dam, you're being zorik the matan dalid dam. It just happens to be that you can't separate the matan dalid from the matan achas, and that's why it's not baltosif. The Meiri says there's only an isra baltosif when you have kavana lahosif ala mitzvah, but when you're doing this extra act for the sake of being mekayim a mitzvah misafek, you're not having kavana lahosif, then it won't be a violation of baltosif. That's what lo nemar baltosif el kshuba atzmo, meaning when that since the person on his own is not just deciding to throw extra matan dam, he's doing it because of the dam that's mu'urav, so that's not a violation of baltosif. And there are several other shitos in the Rishonim to explain exactly what this means, but that's Rav Lozer's shita, that it's not going to be a violation of baltosif. The other kasha all the Rishonim are bothered by is, wait a second, we have a klal in all shas, asei dochalos asei. So what are we worried about over here? We're worried that it's a violation of baltosif to throw matan dalid, to throw the matan achas dam four times. But you have a chiv daraisa to throw the matan dalid dam four times. So shouldn't we say the assay of, and the only way to do it is by also throwing the matan achas dam? It comes bi'idna. It's exactly at the same time. That's what all the Rishonim point out. That assay do chalos assay. We say that a mitzvah assay is going to push away a mitzvah slos assay. What's the difference between that and mitzvah abob avera? Mitzvah abob avera is bad, and assay do chalos assay is good. You're allowed to do assay do chalos assay. So the Rov Rishonim assume the difference is very simple. Bi'idna. If the two things happen exactly simultaneous to each other, so that's when we say that assay is dochalos assay. If you're first going to do the avera to then enable you to later do the mitzvah, that's what we call mitzvah abab avera. You steal the lulav so that you could then be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav, that's mitzvah abab avera. That's bad. But if it happens at the same time, so then it's going to be assay dochalos assay. So the Rishonim are all bothered by the kasha. Why don't we say assay dochalos assay over here? So Tosos is mitarates based on the klal, and asei do chalos asei, that only when the asei in its own right is soser the lav, when the mitzvah asei itself somehow contradicts the los asei, we say asei do chalos asei. Meaning you have a beged made out of pishtan and you need to put tzitzis in it, and the tzitzis is made out of wool. That's the requirement of tcheles, made out of wool. So it's by definition that chiyuv mitzvah asei is going to require the violation of a los asei. That's the very definition of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah. But when you did something that was an act of negligence that caused the stira to occur, that caused the problem and the predicament that a person is in, then we do not apply a seido chalos asei. What happened over here? You have blood that requires matanachas. You're supposed to make sure nothing happens to it. You're supposed to protect that blood, not mix it with anything else. Blood matandalid, the same. And what did you do? You were posheya. And the blood that was matandalid with matanachas got mixed together. In such a case, we would not apply asei do chalos asei. That's how Tosa suggests. Rishonim also are matarets, based on the Gemara in Zvachim, that asei do chalos asei doesn't apply by lav shebemigdash. The Gemara in Zvachim seems to assume. So that would certainly answer our question, that there is no asei do chalos asei. Ein asei do chalos asei shebemigdash. Ramban ala Torah explains, why is it that ein asei what, the rule is good enough for everywhere else but the Migdash? So the Ramban al Torah explains that mitzvahs asay are a reflection of ahavas Hashem. Mitzvahs los asay are a reflection of yiras Hashem. So generally speaking, asay dochalos say ahava is the midah that is the dominant of the two midos, and it overpowers yira. But we have a special emphasis on Yira in the Mikdash. There's a din of Mora Mikdash. It's Mikdashai Tira'u. So Dafka in the Mikdash we say, Ein Asei Dochalos Asei Shebemikdash. Because in the Mikdash, Yira takes precedence over Ahavab. That's that klal, that Ein Asei Dochalos Asei Shebemikdash. So we're talking about Matan Dal and Matan Arba. There's no kasha of why don't we say Asei Dochalos Asei. That's what many of the Rishonim point out point out over here. Says Gemara further, Amla Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Lazar, Lo Nemer Baltigra El Kshuba Atzmo. I don't think it's a violation of Baltigra, because Baltigra is only when you're only stuck with the Matan Dalad Dam, and for some reason you only do one Matan of Dam. That's Baltigra. But when it's a mixture and you're just trying to satisfy the Matan Achas Dam by only throwing once, so it's not a violation of Baltigra. Va'odam Rabbi Yeshua, and furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua says, Kshinasata Avartal Baltosif Asisa Maisa Biyadecha. If you actually throw the dam four times, says Rabbi Yeshua, you will have violated Baltosif actively. Those extra three matanos of dam is an active violation of Baltosif. Kishalonasata Avartal Baltigra, but Velo Asisa Maisa Biyadecha. Even if I were to acknowledge that it is a violation of Baltigra to only do Matana Achas, given the choice of actively violating Baltosif or passively violating Baltigra, I'll take the passive violation over the active violation. Rav Elazar Damar Hasum Kumasei Adif Sachin Amir. So now the Gemara says, okay, now let's put it together. What does this have to do with a guy sitting in a tree on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, according to Rav Elazar, who says that we'd rather you actively do the mitzvah. So over here also, Yered. Rav Elazar holds you should be active and sprinkle four times in violation. Baal Tosif may hold that you should be active and climb down from the tree. The Rav Yeshua Damar Hasum Shevi Al Tase Adif. Hachanami lo yerid. Rabbi Shua holds you should be passive and only sprinkle once in violation of Baltigra, may hold not to climb down from the tree. Very difficult to understand what the connection is. The Gemara is trying to make this connection. The Rishonim are very bothered. What do you mean by being active and climbing down the tree? You're not actively violating an Avera, you're actively avoiding the, meaning you are, I shouldn't say not actively violating, you're risking further the chashash of that you might be tolish a branch with every step that you take on the tree. But still, the whole thing, from a chashash shema that you're going to be tolish to a dindar rice of matan dalet and matan achas, very difficult comparison. But the Gemara rejects the comparison. Anyway, the Gemara says, dil malohi, maybe the comparison is faulty anyway. Ad kan lo kam Rav Elazar asum kumasei adif el d'kavin mitzvah. When do we say kumasei is adif, that it's better to be active? That's when you're doing a mitzvah. Avol hachad lov in mitzvah, hachanami lo yered. Over here, you're not doing a mitzvah, so meaning by climbing down, you'll be in violation of some sort of avera of climbing a tree, but you're not going to be doing a mitzvah. When you do the matan dalet, you're at least satisfying the dam that requires matan dalet, so you're doing a mitzvah. V'inami ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua asum shevi al tasa adif. And maybe Rabbi Yeshua only says better to only throw one matan dam over there, el de lo kavadi surah, because you're not doing an iser. Aval hacha de kavadi surah, but over here by sitting in the tree, every moment that you're yoshev be'ilon is an iser. So achinami de yerid, I might think avoid those moments of iser. Do whatever you can to get out of the tree. There is a fascinating discussion I saw over here. He quotes from the Sefer Pnei Shlomo, who raises the kasha. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that tells a story that Reb Elazar once came into the Beis HaKnesses, and there were only nine people there, plus he had his Eved with him, so he was Meshacher his Eved to be Mashlim the Minyan, to make a Minyan. So the Gemara asks, how could he do that? It's a violation of Liol Mem Tavodu's mitzvah, say in the Torah, you're not allowed to be Meshacher an Eved. So the Gemara says, for a Dvar Mitzvah, there's no issue to be Meshacher the Eved. The Gemara says, what are you talking about for a Dvar Mitzvah? That's Mitzvah Baba Avera. You're doing an Avera in order to enable you to do a Mitzvah? Of course that's Aser. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah the Rabbim. It's a Mitzvah the Rabbim, so you're allowed to be Meshacher the Eved. So the implication is that had it not been a mitzvah the rabbim, so we would have told him, don't be mishakel the eved. Now, what's the situation? He has a mitzvah to do. He has a requirement. He has some sort of mitzvah that has to get done. And the only way to get that mitzvah done is by violating an avera. It's mamish, it seems to be very, very much like our case. When you have a mitzvah and avera that are both equal, and you can't be mekayim the mitzvah without violating the avera. So in our Gemara, Rav Elazar says, since you can't be mekayim the mitzvah without the avera, better to be mekayim the mitzvah and be docha the avera. Right? We'd rather you do the matan dalet, even though it's going to be an avera of Baal Tosef also. We'd rather a person be mekayim the mitzvah. So why does the Gemara make the assumption that had it not been a mitzvah, the rabbi, Shevi al Tasa Adiv, according to Rabbi Lazar, better to be mekayim the mitzvah, b'kum v'asei, when they're both equal. So that's the kasha that the Pnei Shlomo asks. So he's miyashiv the kasha based on another kasha. The Gemara says, how could Rabbi Lazar be m'shachar zeved, I it's a mitzvah baba avera. How do we know Rabbi Lazar holds to the concept of mitzvah baba avera? There is a Tana that rejects the entire concept of mitzvah baba avera, that doesn't hold that there's a problem of mitzvah baba avera. Maybe Rabbi Lazar is that Tana. So he says, no, there are two types of mitzvah baba avera. Mitzvah baba avera, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed learns from Ani Hashem Soni Gezel Ba'ola, that Hashem says, I don't like Gezel in carbon in a carbon. So we learn it from a pasuk. It seems pretty clear in a pasuk. So he says the difference is when a person is machnis himself into a chiyuv al yedei aveira, meaning a person, let's say, steals wheat in order to be mafresh challah. So you had no chiyuv of being mafresh challah before you stole the wheat. It's only because you stole wheat and you made a dough. Now the chiyuv of mafresh challah. So you created the mitzvah by doing the aveira. Then there's no machlokas. Everyone would agree that there's a concept of mitzvah ba'al aveira. It's only when the mitzvah was there the entire time and the aveira is enabling you to be mekayim the mitzvah, like stealing a lulav. Yeah, the chiyuv of a lulav is there the whole time because it's sukkis and you happen to steal. That's where there's a machlokas whether we apply mitzvah ba'al aveira. So he says, what's the case in the Gemara and Brachos over there? It must have been, what did he need a minyan for? Tefillah is only derabanan. So Tosus writes over there that he must have been, so there was some mitzvah da'araisa that needed to be done. The Birchas Kohanim had to be done. And Birchas Kohanim is a mitzvah that can only be done with Asara. It's also only a mitzvah that you're chayiv to do when there's a minyan. There's no chayiv to do Birchas Kohanim when there's not a minyan. So he suggests maybe that's the vart. That of course Rav Lazar holds mitzvah ba'aveira in that situation because he's creating the mitzvah. And he says maybe that's why Rav Lazar is not going to say, yeah, go actively violate the aveira because you need to be mekayim the mitzvah. Now that's only if the mitzvah is there already. But to go actively create the mitzvah, that far Rav Lazar won't go. He's not going to tell you to actively create the mitzvah, and that's why the Gemara Brachos has to come on to mitzvah derabim. That for a case of mitzvah derabim, maybe it would be different. Okay, says the Gemara, Tani Chada, Echad Ilanach v'Echad Ilan Yavesh, whether it's a moist tree or a dry tree, either way, the same issur applies. V'tani, you can't climb a tree. V'tani yidach b'medvur amur b'lach avol b'yavish mutter. It's only a moist tree. Dry tree is going to be mutter. Amr of Yudah lo kasha. Kan b'shegizo machlif, kan b'shein gizo machlif. The stira in the braises about a dry tree can easily be explained by how dry it is. Is it something that would regrow when you cut it off? If it is gizel machlif, then it would be aser. If it's ain gizel machlif, it would be mutter. So gizel machlif, yavish karisalei. What, you call that yavish? You call that a dried out tree? If it grows back, it's obviously still a vibrant tree. El lo kasha, kan b'mosachama, kan b'mosachshamim. No, the difference is summertime and wintertime. B'mosachama, hanatri piri. Wait a second, in the summertime, there are fruits on the tree that you're going to be knocking off. B'deleka piri. Now we're talking about there are no fruits. Natri kinsi, you're going to be knocking off branches. The geduda, the tree is trimmed of all of its branches. Eniva rav ikla la apastia va asar begeduda, but didn't rav asar even such a tree? So rav bikam matzah begadar begeder. Yeah, but that was a special chumra mitrabanan that rav made. But meikra din, that would not be that would not be asar. That was stam rav's own chumra. He made that issa as an additional safeguard. Amar rami baraba, amar rav asi. Aslo adam sheyahalich al gabei asavim b'shabbos. Person is not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says va'atz baraglayim chote. So Tani Chada mutar leilach al gabei asavim b'Shabbos, v'tani yidach aser. We have a stira. One time it says it's mutar to walk on grass on Shabbos. The other time it says that it's aser. Just yesterday, this is a personal daf yomi coincidence. Just yesterday at the kiddush by the Hermans, they had it in the backyard, so it was on the grass. Everyone was standing on the grass. My cousin came over to me and she said, "You know, when I was in Beis Yaakov, they told us we weren't allowed to walk in heels on grass on Shabbos. So am I allowed to be here? Am I allowed to be walking on the grass?" So I didn't yet learn this stuff. So I couldn't say, oh, it's tomorrow's Dav Yomi. But that's our sugya. You're allowed to walk on the grass on Shabbos. Heels, no heels, what's the din? So we have a stira between two brises. So says Gemara lo kasha, habalachim habi yaveshim. The stira is when it's moist, the stira in brise is very simply answered, when it's moist and dry. That one is when it's moist, one is when it's dry. Wherever the concern, what's the isser of walking on grass? The isser is that you're going to be removing the grass as you walk. So when it's moist, it's going to be aser because it's going to be tolish. When it's dry, it's already ki'ilu, it's tolish already, so it's not going to be anything. V'ibay say mahava habalachim lo kasha kan b'mosacham kan b'mosagsham. Or it could be that they're both talking about moist grass, but the stira is answered by summertime versus wintertime. V'ibay say mahava habimosacham lo kasha had siyem misane had siyem misane. It's whether you're wearing shoes or not. If you're wearing shoes, then it's mutter. If you're not wearing shoes, then the grass will get stuck in between your toes and you'll pull it out as you walk. V'ibay seima, hava had siyem misane, the person's wearing shoes. V'lo kasha, had de islay ukse. It depends whether you're wearing cleats or not. If you're wearing cleats or spikes or heels, right? So then it's more likely that you're going to be uprooting something. That no, maybe we're talking about everyone's wearing cleats or heels or something, but the nafkamina is long grass that will get caught in it versus short grass that won't. It depends how well groomed the lawn is. So says the Gemara, nowadays we pass like Rabbi Shimon, so all of this is mutter. There's nothing to talk about, that it's all mutter to walk on the grass. So a couple of things. First of all, let's discuss this shaila that my cousin asked me yesterday. So the Beis Yaakov teacher didn't learn Ervin Daf Kuf Amud Beis Hayitachin, that such a thing could happen, that she would say that it's also to walk on the grass. So it says that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter. It's clearly a Davar Shein Miskaven. So that's what the question is. Is it a psik reshe? Is it a Davar Shein Miskaven, or is it a psik reshe? So that's a Matzias question. It probably depends how saturated the grass is, how long the grass, all these things that we're saying, is it in fact a psik resha? I did not think in yesterday's conditions that it was at all a psik resha. I thought it was 100% mutter for people in heels, or if someone wanted to wear cleats to walk on the grass. I thought that was 100% mutter. So the maskanas of Gemara is clearly over here that it's mutter bein lach bein yavish, because you have no kavana to be tolish, and that's how the rov rishon in paskin. However, the Yireim and the Smag say that we see from our sugya that you're not allowed to go on grass on Shabbos when it's vaday tolish balichasa, when you know for sure that it's going to happen. So the Marshal says, what do you mean? We pass on the Rav Shimon that davar shein miskaven is mutter, so you're allowed to walk on the grass. It's a psik reshe, but nevertheless, it's not a melechas machsheves, because he says that which the Smag quotes this din as some sort of history. He says this is so indirect, it doesn't even seem like a melechus machsheves. It's a very strange kasha. What do you mean? That's the definition of psik reshe. That davar shein miskaven is something that you're not having kavana for, but if it's a psik reshe, then it's going to be asur. In the Bir Halacha, he points out that in the Rishonim it's clear that it's dafka when it's not a psik reshe. All the Rishonim on the sugya are very clear that it's only when it's not a psik reshe that it's going to be mutter. If it were a psik reshe, then it would be asur. So it's a metzias question, it's not a halacha question. The more interesting part of this gemara is when it says va'idna the Kaimel and Krabi Shimon, Kulhu Shari. What's Kulhu? So one simple way of understanding it is Kulhu is going on all of the permutations of different types of grass. Grass that's long, grass that's short, grass with cleats, without cleats, all different types of... But we had another machlokas just before about climbing down a tree, about going on a tree. So a dry tree on Shabbos, and a moist tree on Shabbos. So is Kulhu Shari maybe going back on that machlokas as well? Is it only legabe halicha legabe asavim? Or is it even about aliyah le'ilon? So Tosos in Dibra Maskel v'ha'idna, right here, quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that Kulhu Shari is only about going on the grass. So you're allowed to go on the grass no matter what, but does not mean to say that you're allowed to climb a tree because you're enu miskavin litlosh, because even on a dry tree it's shaykh to make a gzera. The gzera is not that you're going to be tolish accidentally. The gzera is that you're going to be tolish on purpose. So it's shaykh to make a gzera not to climb a tree. That's what the Rambam passes as well. You're not allowed to go up on a tree. Bein lach, bein yavish. Person is not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. The Rush, however, says from the fact that the Rif leaves out the din of ilan yavish, sounds like he paskins is that there's no chilik between ilan yavish and grass. And Beis Yosef explains the Rush that according to the Rif, when the Gemara says v'idna t'kaimel k'rab shimon kulu shari, it's going on the tree part as well. That just like you're allowed to go on grass, so too you're allowed to climb a tree because your enu miskavin litosh, and davar sheinu miskavin is going to be mutter. Beis Yosef doesn't like it because he says if you're allowed to climb in a tree, why does the Gemara Maseches Beit Daf Lamed Vav and Beis quote the din of ein olin bi ilan b'shabbes and the din im ala b'meizah lo yered? It's mutter lechadchilan ilan according to the maskana of the Gemara. So why would the Gemara over there just assume in astam that it's going to be aser? But anyway, that's how he explains the shitas harash. Let's see the Gemara further now. So now we move a little bit into Agadat Gemara. A man is not allowed to force his wife into Tashmish Shamita. Someone who's kof his wife into dvar mitzvah is going to have children that are enemu huganim, that are rishayim. Amar of Ikabar Chimna, my krav gamble das nefesh lo tov. Tanya, right, that's the pasuk that indicates that they're going to be bad kids. Gam below das, if the bia happens below das, without the woman's consent, then nefesh lo tov, the nefesh that's going to be created from such a bia is going to be lo tov. Tanya nami hachi, gam below das, nefesh lo tov, zeh kofi ishto ledvar mitzvah. We have a brisa that says exactly like that. Ve'otz braglayim chote, zeh ha-boel v'shona. That's a reference to someone who's boel twice. So, frek the gemara, eini v'amrava arotz alasos kol banav zecharim yivul yishna. I thought if a person wants to have male children, male offspring, being bol v'shon is a good thing. So why do we say that being bol v'shon is a bad thing? Lo kasha kan l'das kan shalol l'das. Being bol v'shon is shalol l'das is a bad thing. Being bol v'shon l'das, where the woman has consents, is a good thing. So it's clear in the Gemara, someone wants all banav to be zecharim yivul v'yishna l'das, with the woman's consent. But your bol v'shon is shalol l'das, that's bad. Ask the Bach a simple question. What's Ravika being mechadesh? We already said what's he saying? That being bold v'shona shalol das is bad? We already said being bold the first time shalol das is bad. So obviously, being bold the first time you can have banim sheinim u'ganim, being bold the second time shalol das, you also have banim sheinim u'ganim. So he says the Ravika is coming to be mechadesh, that when the woman is not misratza bebir rishona, that's Eitz Baraglayim Chote. But when she's Nisratzis Bibir Rishona and not Nisratzis Bibir Shnia, so then there's a Havamina that since she was interested in the first Bia, you could be Kofar for the Bia Shnia, because she wanted to have Bia, so she wants to create a child, and certainly it's an Umdana that she would want a Ben Zachar, that's the assumption. And the Gemara Bab Basud of Tazayin says, Oilo Lemisha Banav Nekevos. So Mistama, when she was interested in the first Bia, she was Misratzi even for the Bia Shnia, Kamash Malon, that she has the right to change her mind. So okay, so said the Gemara further. Amar Shomar Apeni Amar Biyachon. Kalisha she tova as bailu dvar mitzvah. Having the banim shafil bedor shal moshe loy kamosan. Any woman who asks her husband for a tashmish, so even they're going to have such wonderful children that even in the door of Moshe Rabbeinu there weren't such children. Dilu bedor shal moshe ksev in the door of Moshe Rabbeinu says havel lachem anashim chacham unvanim vidum l'shavteichem. That Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to look for highly qualified people who are chachamim nevonim and yidum l'shavteichem. Uksev, and the pasuk says vechach. But it doesn't have nevonim. Vilu nevonim lo ashkach. He couldn't even find anybody who are nevonim, who have that extra quality of being a nevon. Vilu gabe leah, but Leah, who was tovea Yaakov, who invited Yaakov to her tent, says vatete leah lekrasov atomer elai tavo kischar secharticha uksiv umibnei Yisachar. Yisachar was conceived on that night, and Yisachar is yode vina leitim ladas mayas Yisrael rashei masayim kolachem alpien. So you see that nevonim was able to be created out of a woman who was tovea her husband. So it says, well, okay, that makes sound like it's a wonderful thing to do. But didn't we learn that Chava was cursed with 10 klalos? That of the curses, the 10 curses that Chava got, the first two are the two types of dam. Dam nida that she has to deal with, dam besulim that she has to deal with, etzvoneich zetzar gidul banim, that's a reference to tzar gidul banim, a third curse. Veheroneich zetzar ibor, that's the pain of pregnancy, a fourth curse. Be'etz of tel dibanim kemashma'o, that's childbirth, that's a fifth curse. Ve'el isha tshukaseich, and ve'elisheich tshukaseich, that a woman longs for her husband when he goes out on the road, that's the sixth curse. That when a woman wants tashmish, she can't say anything, she shouldn't say anything, but a man can verbally say something. That's at least the appropriate etiquette for a woman, and that's the seventh curse. But bottom line is, you see, the proper etiquette for a woman is not to say anything, not to be tovea b'peh. So how can we say Leah got Yisachar and Nevo him, and it's such a wonderful thing? There are ways to ask without asking explicitly. As Rashi says, she should act in such a way where it's obvious that she's interested in having tashmish without actually verbally saying anything. That's the proper etiquette. So says Gemara, but wait a second, we have a problem in the Brice in the first place. We said that there are 10 curses that Chava had, and then we listed 7 curses. So hani sheva havyon, it's only 7. So kiyas rav dimi amra tufa ke'evel. He says an eighth one is that she's wrapped up like an avel. She has to cover her hair like an avel. Umenudu mikal adam. An avel has to have an atifas harosh. Umenudu mikal adam, and she's kept away from other people. she's not allowed to marry anyone, except she's not allowed to be with anyone except for her husband. The chavusha beis asurin, and she's locked in her house because kol kavud bas melech penima, so she's not so out. She's not out in the world as much. My menudah mikol adam. What does menudah mikol adam mean? Ile mishum da asul yichud. If you want to tell me that it's an isri yichud, she's not allowed to have yichud. Iunami asul yichud. A man is also not allowed to have yichud. In fact, that's part of the very definition. Meaning, if she's asul to have yichud, it's with a man. So no one's allowed to have yichud. Ela da asir lebeitre. Now the point is, she's not allowed to be married to two guys, but one guy can be married to two women. I just saw in Rav Aviner has a Shaila Tshuva service online where people ask questions. So someone said, "Is it?" Someone read me a shidduch from a certain yeshiva. She said the name of the yeshiva. Should I not marry them? He said, I don't think you're allowed to marry a whole yeshiva no matter what. I think it's an issur to marry more than one man. Okay, Masnisa Tana Megadela Seyar Kililis, that she also has to grow her hair like the demon, like a lilis. V'yoshevas mashtana mayim kibehema v'nasis kar labayla. And also, she sits and is mashtanas mayim when she urinates. She has to crouch down like an animal. And also, nasis kar labayla. She becomes a pillow for her husband, meaning the husband is lamayla b'shas tashmish. Those are another three potential curses. V'ida chani shevachula. And the other sheet that says, no, it's only 10 curses because those last three are actually good things. What does the Pasuk mean when the Pasuk says, Malfeinu mi bahamos aretz umeof hashamayim yichakmenu, Malfeinu mi bahamos zu preda shakras mashtenas mayim umeof hashamayim yichakmenu, zet tarnagol shemfayis v'achakach boel. That's a reference to the tarnagol. It's first mefayis the female, and then is boel. Amr b'yochanan il mole lo nit natora hainu lemeidin snius mechatul. Had the Torah not been given, we would have learned snios from a cat. There's a Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has a very nice essay in his volume Leaves of Faith about whether there's such a thing as an ethic independent of the Torah. Meaning, is there such a thing as being an ethical person outside of the Torah context, outside of what the Torah actually says, defines ethics for us? So he says, it seems to be, he starts the essay by saying, it seems to be an open and shut case. It's enough in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf Amud Beis, that there is an ethic independent of the Torah. Because the Gemara says, had the Torah not been given, we still would have learned certain ethics, certain proper behaviors, just from the Bria around us. But then he goes on to write 30 pages about it, so there's more. But we would have learned sneers from a cat. V'gezel minimala, we would have learned not to steal from an ant. V'arayos miyona, we would have learned not to commit arayos from a yona. Derech eretz mitarnagol, we learned derech eretz from tarnagol, how to be a mizdavig with a woman. Shemefayis v'achach bol, that he first comforts her and before he's boel her. My mafayisla, how does a tarnagol do that? I'm Rabbi Domarav, Hachi Karmela, Zavnina laich zigo demato laich ad kareich. He makes a simon with his wings to show that I would buy you a coat that reaches you from I'd get you a fur coat that goes head to toe. I'd treat you to the best and the finest. Labasar Hachi Karmela, Lishtamite le karvalte du tarnagola, viyisei lozvi nanalach. And then after Tashmish, it makes a simon to show that I should lose the crop, the gizzard, whatever I should lose if I had the money to be able to buy it to you for you and don't buy it for you. So you should say words of comfort to her before Tashmish. A couple of things, or we'll see whatever we have time for. Rashi over here says be'etiv tel dibanim is kemashmo'o. That means that it's referring to tzara leda. So Ben Yoyada asks a very simple kasha Ben Yoyada points out. I just wanted to point this out today. Dafka, he points out that in that klala there are different types of koshi that are involved in tsar leda. We say it's be'etzev teldi banim, plural. So he says, what's the tsar leda that we're referring to? Sheteled tu'umim, that when twins are born, there's an extra tsar. So I thought that was a dafyomi coincidence in our shul. We're celebrating someone giving birth to twins, and she's celebrating getting over that tsar leda, I guess, of teldi banim. So that's the Ben Yoyada points out. But the other kasha that all the achronim ask is, when we're darshing the pasuk, etzfoneich is tsar gidul banim, Heroneich is Tsari Ibur. Isn't that backwards? Shouldn't we first have the Tsari Ibur and then the Tsar Gidul Banim? Why do we have Tsar Gidul Banim before the Tsari Ibur? So Marsha says, because the Medrash Taka switches it. Medrash says that Tsvoneich is Tsari Ibur, Veroneich is Tsar Hiidui, which is the Tsar of Veses, whatever. It switches it to something else, that it's not referring to the same two. But how do we Mitarets for our Gemara? So the Taras Chaim is Mitarets that we're Makdim Tsar Gidul Banim to the Tsari Ibur, because the klala is that even as you're raising your young children, even as the woman is raising her young children, she's still getting pregnant again. So the tsari ibur is much, when she has tsari ibur with the first kid, okay, she's no responsibility. So it's no big deal. I'm a man, I shouldn't say it's no big deal. But it's not nearly as difficult as having to watch after the young children and then still have a tsari ibur. So that's the ultimate tsari ibur. Other achronim tari said that was the klal of the chava. Chava didn't have tsari ibur. She had tsar gidul banim first. That they were all lamita shnayim v'yardu arba. So it just happened immediately. It's only after Shais was born that she had tsar ibur. It's only when Shais was born that tsar ibur happened. So that's why etzvonech tsar gidul banim, we're going historically which one came first and which one came second. And then the ben yoyada's mitarets that the tsar ibur is as man muat yoser mitzar gidul banim. That tsar ibur is a little bit longer, and therefore etzvonech is tsar gidul banim. Okay, we'll stop there. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up on Kuf Aleph tomorrow. Yeah.